I'll come to order. Members, when you take your presence to order.
There are 17 members present. Senator Ferguson is excused.
Senator Rohde and Senator Sackett were on the plane, did not quite make it into the airport today. They sent the original captain. Chair of the captain.
We are drawn in prayer to you, O God, in the many and varied experiences in our lives and words, seeking for a right interpretation of what has happened to us and willing to learn how to handle our lives. We are open to you. Let every act and utterance in our being here be an offering of our love to you and acceptance of your love. Soften those things which create tensions within and unsnarl our jangled nerves that we may, in good spirit, tackle the work of the day filled with the peace of mind and soul that comes from you. Amen.
Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 75th, 76th, 77th legislative day and Senate and House supplement number 6.
Senator Curtillo.
President, there are no further additions or corrections. I'm going to ask unanimous consent to the journal and supplement be approved as read.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent for the certification of the journal without objection. Journal certified. Introduction of guests. Senator Curtillo.
Present today in the gallery, on year the 42nd year of our anniversary that is of us coming together in the hold of an old Army Transport Command, I'd like to introduce two of my friends, particularly Vern and Karen France. Other members of the Alaska State Fair Association, Lola Alice, Marsha Milton, Jim Baker, and John Hale.
Senator Wright.
Mr. President, in this gallery we have the wife, Pete, and the daughter, Marjorie, of our pastor for this week, the Reverend McNabb, wife and daughter.
Senator Mealy.
Yes, Mr. President, I would like to introduce 20 students from Sitka, the 8th grade students. They're qualified to make this trip over here to watch their government in action, and rightfully so, because I think a lot of them are going to be leaders in state government. Before I introduce them and their chaperone, Harvey and Kathleen Brandt, I would like to make note that a lot of these students, and the biggest percentage of them, the future leaders, are females, young, pretty girls. And I'd like to have you make note of that. I'd also like to make note that they did spend $500 and made the $500 themselves through projects to make this trip over here. They asked, one of the things that they wanted to do while they were here was to hear a real live oil lobbyist or any type of a lobbyist in action. So I did arrange with Mr. Waco Shelley, who has the proper accent and everything, and Mr. Shelley is having them for breakfast tomorrow morning down in the Baranoff, and they'll hear a real live oil lobbyist. Harvey and Kathleen and your students, please stand up.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, on behalf of my colleague, there were really 21, there's one from Wrangell here in Petersburg, representing John Longley.
Further introductions? Messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor, Mr. President.
Messages from the House?
There are no messages from the House.
Communications?
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committee.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 582, General Obligation Bonds for Port Facilities Development and Small Boat Harbor Projects. And the committee recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, and the committee substitute do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Butrovich, Sackett, and Cohen. There's no further referral.
Rules.
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill 601 relating to recording and recommends it do pass with an amendment. The report is signed by Senator Ziegler, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Tillian, Meeland, Poland, and Miller. There is no further referral.
Move.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 677 relating to the selection of a capital site and recommends replacement with a committee substitute. Senator Huber, Chairman, signed Do Not Pass Unless Amended. Senator Coletta signed Do Not Pass. Senators Miller and Meeland signed Do Pass. Senator Ferguson signed No Recommendation. There's no further referral.
Move.
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill 717, amending the Uniform Probate Code. The committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ziegler, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Tillian, Meeland, Poland, and Miller. There's no further referral.
Move.
The Judiciary Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill 738, Supplemental Appropriation to Department of Law for Miscellaneous Court Awards, and the committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ziegler, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Tillian, Meeland, Poland, and Miller. There's a further referral to Finance. I have no further committee reports.
Reports of special committees?
We have none.
Introduction of resolutions?
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 93, by the Rules Committee by request, congratulating Roger Lee Florchinger.
Rules.
That's the only resolution.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 719 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to procedures for payment of special assessments in home rule and general law municipalities and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs, Finance.
There are no further bills.
Bring us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Senator Cotulla.
Mr. President, I would move that Senate Joint Resolution 52 amended be returned to the Rules Committee.
Senator Cotulla moves that Senate Joint Resolution Number 52 be returned to the Rules Committee and ask unanimous consent. Is there objection? Without objection. Senate Joint Resolution 52 is returned to the Rules Committee.
Mr. President.
Senator Cotulla.
I move that unanimous consent that Senate Bill 676 be returned to the Rules Committee.
Senator Cotulla moves and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 676 will be returned to the Rules Committee. Without objection. Bill 676 is returned to the Rules Committee.
Mr. President.
Mr. Cotulla.
Senator Rohde, who has not been dilatory, has been here at every session, is hung up today, no fault of his own at all. And therefore, the two following bills that he had considerable interest in his committee have Senate Bill 529 and 602. Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 529 and Senate Bill 602 be held over till tomorrow's calendar, awaiting his return.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 529 and Senate Bill 602 be held in second reading until tomorrow's calendar. Without objection, they'll appear in second reading on tomorrow's calendar.
One thing further, Mr. President.
Mr.
President, conferring with the Chairman of the Judiciary Committee, who has considerable background in this matter, and wishes this bill to be held over to Wednesday's calendar, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 443, Disclosure Requirements Stakeholder Bids, be put on Wednesday's calendar.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 443 be held in second reading until Wednesday's calendar. Is there objection? Without objection, will appear in third reading on Wednesday's calendar. We have in second reading Senate Bill 587.
Senate Bill Number 587 by Senators Cotulla and Croft. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $10 million for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements for the community colleges of the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has had this bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute and that the committee substitute do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Coletta and Bradley. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee substitute and that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Butrovich, Sackett, and Poland. I do have a committee substitute.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move that unanimous consent to the adoption of the committee substitute by 87.
Senator Ray moves and asks unanimous consent for the adoption of the committee substitute. Is there objection? Without objection, committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 587 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $12 million for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements for the community colleges and extension centers of the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
There any amendments? Senator Petillo.
Mr. President, I move that the committee substitute Senate Bill 587 consider engrossed, advance to the reading place upon passage.
Senator Petillo moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 587 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill 587.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 587, an act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $12 million for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements for the community colleges and extension centers of the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
Their discussion?
Question.
Ready to vote? Question is, shall Senate Bill 587 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 16 yeas and one nay.
Senator Cotulla.
President, I move national unanimous consent to vote on the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent to vote on the bill be considered to vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then Senate Bill 587, effective date clause, passed the Senate. We have before us Senator Wright. Senator, stand at ease. Senator, come to order. We have before us in second reading, House Bill 438.
Do we have Senate Bill 666?
I'm sorry. We have second reading Senate Bill 666.
Senate Bill Number 666 by Senator Huber, an act relating to motorcycle and motor scooter safety and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee had this bill under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommend it be replaced with a committee substitute and that the substitute do pass. The report was signed by Senator Huber, chairman, and concurred in by Senators Miller and Ferguson. Senators Coletta and Meeland signed no recommendation. I have a committee substitute.
Senator Huber?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute be, State Affairs Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Senator Huber moves and asks unanimous consent for the adoption of the Senate State Affairs Committee substitute. Is there objection? Without objection, State Affairs Committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 666 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to motorcycle safety and providing for an effective date.
Question.
I have no amendments.
The absence of any amendments, Senator Cotulla.
President, absence of any further amendments, and move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 666 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed upon passage.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 666 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill 666.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 666, an act relating to motorcycle safety and providing for an effective date.
Good discussion, Senator Huber.
Mr. President, if you will recall, recently we had the HCR cancel the present motorcycle safety regulations before this body. We sent it back to the State Affairs Committee. In the State Affairs Committee was sitting a bill to put the motorcycle safety regulations in the form of a statute and require them to be voted on by the public at the next election. The State Affairs Committee considered this and decided that the concerns of the Senate was that minors who possibly don't know any better would at least have the protection of a helmet law. That I got the Senate, at least we thought we had the sense of the Senate, that people who are over the age of majority and hold and know what they're doing in operating a motorcycle wouldn't have to be required to protect themselves from themselves, so to speak. The bill does simply that. It leaves all of the motorcycle regulations on book with everybody subject to them. However, a person who holds one of the classified driver's licenses that we passed last year that is for the operation of a motorcycle only may, if he's over the age of majority, be exempt from the rules of having to have a helmet on himself. His passenger would still have to have one, and people under the age of 19 would have to have one. And that's simply what it does by urging passage.
Senator Wright?
Mr. President, talking about people know what they're doing, I just read recently that approximately two-thirds of the felonious acts committed in this country are committed by people 25 years and under. As far as the age of majority, making them smart. I've seen smart young kids and dumb old people. This certainly doesn't do anything bad to any community as far as we're concerned.
Senator Giver?
Mr. President, there is one more thing. Before each senator is the various material that came at the vote last year in Washington, D.C. For each senator to pass that itself.
Question. Senator Willis?
Question to the chair and the senator. How do you enforce this? How do you determine once a person puts a helmet on or leaves one off, you see them going down the highway? How do an enforcement officer tell who's over the age of majority and who's not?
Senator Huber?
President, there is really two things. Whether he's over the age of majority and whether he has a classified motorcycle operator permit in his possession. There's both of these things, and it's the obvious thing. Policeman stops him and checks.
Further discussion? Ready to vote? Question is, Senate Bill 666 passes the Senate. Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary locked the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 10 yeas and 7 nays.
So Senate Bill 666 has failed to pass the Senate. Senator Huber? Senator Wright?
Was this voted on once before?
No, sir. I think that was the resolution.
That was the resolution.
Senator Huber's notice of reconsideration will be noted in the journal. We now have before us in third reading, House Bill 438.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 438, amended by the Resources Committee, an act relating to leasing of state lands.
Senator Curtillo.
President, brief request for an explanation. You know, the House Finance and Resources Committee acted on this measure. Essentially, the State Division of Lands is the supporter. And Section 1 says it's brief because of the loose language in existing statute AS 3805-1315C. Nonprofit corporations confront for profit making ventures and obtain state land leases on extremely favorable terms. The 1% lease rental on many leases, 5% on educational and mental health leases. A new language, 315C, prevents commercial development, ensures project is open to general public, provides criteria to ensure that nonprofit corporations are only ones that qualify this preferential state lease program. And then section 2 gives a land leasee a preference right to meet high bid on his previous lease. That's the lease he held. Another bid comes in higher and comes up again. The department presently does this, but it is legally unclear whether they really have the authority to do so. President, I see nothing wrong with the bill. It's House bill on the subject, and I recommend passing.
Further discussion? Ready to vote? The question is, shall House Bill 438 pass the Senate? Senator McPhee, vote. Every senator voted. The secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? The secretary will take the roll.
There are 16 yeas, 1 nay, and 3 absent.
So House Bill 438 passed the Senate. We have before us in second reading House Bill 560.
Mr. President.
Senator Chance.
I give notice of reconsideration on the vote of 2072 for House Bill number 438 this morning.
Senator Chance's notice of reconsideration on House Bill 438 will be noted in the journal. Have before us in second reading House Bill 560.
House Bill 560, amended by the Senate by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to daycare facilities and providing for an effective date. Community and Regional Affairs Committee had this bill under consideration. And the majority of the committee recommended it do pass with an amendment. The report was signed by Senator Rohde, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Willis, Orsini, and Tillian. This amendment was adopted. We do have an amendment number 2, and I believe this is on the senator's desk.
Does every senator have a copy?
The amendment number 2 by Kirkula.
Does every senator have a copy? Without objection, then the reading of the amendment to waive Senator Kirkula.
President, I move the amendment.
Senator Kirkula moves the adoption of amendment number 2. You have the floor, Senator Kirkula.
President, essentially, it says that those services and daycare centers that are contributed to by the state, federal, and so on cannot be charged local sales taxes, cannot be levied locally. The city of Palmer got itself into a big fiasco over trying to make a decision on whether under the present levy they could charge or couldn't charge. It's finally said they must charge the sales tax on the local daycare facilities. People are in opposition to it generally. And this way we can straighten out the statute. There won't be any doubt that the city of Palmer is not making some special exclusion, but in fact it's a matter of general law. And I think it solves the problem there, probably come up elsewhere. I move the adoption.
Okay.
Just a question of the sponsor, Mr. President. Don't some of these daycare facilities that receive state help furnish a profit service for people in the different cash category, and therefore shouldn't that part at least be subject to sales tax?
Senator Phillip?
It's true, they do. They do both. But how do you separate one from another? You mix your tax dollars in, and then the local government's taxing the tax dollars for the facility. It's a big confusion, and that's the one they're getting into. And this one just says there's so little affecting the gross of the city's revenue in this measure that just let's get rid of it and be done with it. Not involve ourselves in it. That's a fact that simply comes from my district, I admit, but I'm sure you're going to all end up with the same problem. Health and Social Services, Mr. President, is
Floor, Senator.
Yes, the House and Social Services people strongly recommended the city of Palmer that not continue the charging tax. They felt they had no choice but to continue under the statutes and under the regulation they adopted, and they just didn't want to get into it. So many requests and exclusions coming before them that they didn't want to touch it. I thought this was a reasonable method of going about it, that's all. I don't have any personal prejudice, and I'm just trying to wait it.
Senator Tierney?
I'm going to speak against it mainly because I don't like to see exceptions to the sales tax, not because this particular issue amounts to that much. But, you know, I've always resented the fact that they exempt from taxation for purchases over $500. I think when you have a sales tax, there shouldn't be any exemptions whatsoever. You should just pay it straight across the board. It makes it simple and it makes it fair.
Senator Jansen and Senator North.
I just wanted to point out that in this particular type of service, it's the people that need it the most that are going to be hurt by increased costs, costs when a sales tax is applied to it. Consequently, I support the amendment.
Senator North.
Mr. President, I think the amendment makes sense for another reason as well, and that's both the federal and state income taxes permit under certain circumstances deductions for daycare payments made by working parents. I think this fits into that. I don't think we're opening the door that Senator Tilly fears, although I would agree with him if it went beyond this.
Question. Further discussion?
Question.
Ready to vote? Question is, shall amendment number 2 be adopted? As many as favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no?
No.
The ayes have it. Number 2 is adopted. Are there further amendments? Senator Couture?
Mr. President, in absence of further amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 560 is amended to be considered and drove to the third reading to place the final passage.
Senator Couture moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 560 be advanced from second to third reading to place fully on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 560.
House Bill number 560, amended by the Senate, activating daycare facilities and providing an effective date.
Is there a discussion?
Question.
Ready to vote? Question is, shall House Bill 560 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Any senators are to change his vote, Secretary will take the roll. Senator Couture?
President, I move and ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Senator Couture moves and asks unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, House Bill 560, an effective date clause, will pass the Senate. We have before us in second reading House Bill 686.
Page 1, line 25, delete or other community and substitute within their own community. On line 20, delete an indefinite and substitute a definite.
In the right?
There's one word there that shouldn't be in there.
Senator Stanley. Point of order. Secretary, Senator Ray.
I believe now, Mr. President, if I might, in context, the amendment would read, and well being of the membership of the organization within their own community, and then the elimination of an indefinite and substitute a definite number of persons. I'd move to the adoption of the amendment.
Senator Ray moves the adoption of amendment number 1. You have the floor, Senator Ray.
The reasoning behind this, Mr. President, is the objection by the Department of Revenue in that certain social or certain organizations that were benefiting from this
were spending the money outside of their own communities for junkets, perhaps to Las Vegas or from one place to the other. And it was felt at that time that any money derived from games of skill and chance should be expended for the benefit of those people within their own community, not to advance somebody else to go from here to New York City to attend a flower grower festival or something in that way. And the removal of the word indefinite, it pins it down to free scholarships, free people sick, or a definite number of people or a definite person that is going to derive the benefits, rather than just saying an indefinite number, which these are pretty vague. Now I'd ask unanimous consent.
Ray asks unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number one. Senator Chance objects.
You have the floor.
Senator Standee.
We're ready to pass.
Now I'll come to order. Further discussion? Senator Ray?
I would really renew my motion for
that. I removed my objection.
Senator Chance removes her objection to the adoption of amendment number one. Is there further objection? Without objection, amendment number one is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Senator Curtillo?
President, absent further amendments, I move to ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute for House Bill 686 for considered growth. Pass the third reading, place upon time.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent. House Bill 686 be advanced from second to third reading, placed before you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 686.
Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 686, amended by the Senate. An act relating to games of chance and skill.
The discussion? Senator Ziegler.
President, very briefly, Ketchum County rains an average of about 150 inches every year, and generally we exceed the average about 50 inches. And we just thought that we'd like to have a chance for the chamber types to go out and do some good. That was the original bill. The second part of the bill, I think, goes a long way toward correcting some inequities in our existing regulations pertaining to the operation of bingo games. It's no problem in southeastern Alaska, but it might be up north. And I know that Senators Ray and Miller have worked closely with the administration on this proposed language. As far as I know now, it is a palatable bill to all hands. And I'd appreciate your support.
Further discussion, Senator Miller?
President, just for the record, I am not, I intend to support the bill today myself. I'm not certain, Senator Ziegler, that the bill is completely acceptable to the administration. I'm not suggesting today that it is not. I know originally the governor did have some problems with it. Whether or not the new language resolves those problems, I don't know. I would recommend either directly or indirectly that the administration now endorses the legislation or will support it, because I don't know at this point what the remedy is.
Senator Willis?
Mr. President, you know, simple matters sometimes have a way of escalating. And I'd like to ask a question through the chair to Senator Ray with specific regard to line 2, page 2, where it starts with B, with the exception of raffles lotteries in the main classes. Why was the two additional methods of wagering added here?
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, that was to remove the discrimination that now exists. There are social and fraternal clubs like American Legion, either in Anchorage or Fairbanks, that has raffles. There's the American Legion Post in Skagway that would like to have a raffle. Now, I can see no difference between letting the one in Anchorage or Fairbanks to operate it and not let the others throughout the state, simply because they had a proprietary right before 1959. This, to me, is discrimination of the worst type. And I think this is one thing that perhaps that the governor is upset about, is he thinks perhaps this is a broadening of the concept of gambling. It certainly is not. It's just equalizing the discrimination. Now, we've heard the administration talk about equal rights and equal doings for everybody. Well, we've made it so that it is equal for everybody. Let him take it on that.
Question. Further discussion? Ready to vote? Question is, shall Senate Bill, House Bill 686 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted?
Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 13 yeas, 4 nays, and 3 absent.
So House Bill 686 passed the Senate.
This was the first time that we voted on this bill, isn't it?
That is correct.
I'd like to give notice for reconsideration on House Bill 686 and ask that reconsideration taken at this time.
Senator Wright moves and asks unanimous consent that his reconsideration of House Bill 686 be taken up at this time. Is there objection?
I object.
Senator stand at ease. Come over to Senator Wright.
Well, we're in reconsideration.
It's been moved that reconsideration be taken up today. There has been an objection.
There's an objection. I would withdraw the motion.
Senator Ray moves and asks unanimous consent that his motion be withdrawn. That objection, it is withdrawn. Senator Ray's notice of reconsideration on House Bill 686 will be noticed adjourned.
Mr. President, just the reconsideration be taken up this time. I do get notice of
that. That's right, and that will be noticed adjourned. Have before us in second reading House Bill 213.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 213 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee had this bill under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommended it be passed. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Chance and Coletta. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration, and the majority of the committee recommends it be passed. The report was signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Chance, Ferguson, Sackett, and Poland. Senator Butrovich signed, no recommendation. I have no amendments.
Senator Cotulla.
President, absence of any amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent to committee substitute for House Bill 213 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, place final passage.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 213 be advanced from second to third reading, place for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 213.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 213, an act relating to the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
Senator Wright?
Well, Mr. President, I don't think it's necessary, perhaps, to give an explanation of the bill. I think all members fully understand what it does, but if there are any questions, I'm going to have to answer.
Further discussion? What? Ready to vote? Question is, shall House Bill 213 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 17 yeas, 3 absent.
Senator Cotulla.
President, we're going to ask unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, House Bill 213, the effective date clause, will pass the Senate. We have before us in second reading House Bill 593.
House Bill number 593 amended by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor.
Mr. President.
Senator Wright.
I've been approached by the Department of Administration who have given me some information that they would like to have as an amendment to this committee substitute to House Bill 593. And as it is a substantial amendment,
amounting to some $600,000. I think that perhaps I would like to take this bill off the calendar at this time and allow them the opportunity to come forward to the Finance Committee in the morning and make a full explanation or a presentation and proposal. So at this time, Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that 593 be held over till Wednesday's calendar.
Senator Ray moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 593 be held in second reading until Wednesday's calendar. Is there objection? Without objection. Appear in third reading on Wednesday's calendar. That concludes Natalie Calendar. Brings us down to unfinished business. Senator Miller?
Mr. President, I move for reconsideration my vote on Bill 587.
Senator Miller's notice reconsideration on Senate Bill 587 will be noted in the journal. Further unfinished business? Special orders? Announcement of committee meeting? Senator Ray?
Mr. President, the Finance Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in full session. We have several things to hear, especially this proposal by the administration. And again, the Finance Committee will meet at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and executive session as we will start starting in closing budget categories.
Executive session?
Further announcement of committee meeting. Senator Collin.
Senate Resources will meet in joint session with the House tomorrow at 1:30 to hear Mr. Gerner, Senior Vice President of Exxon Corporation.
Senator Collin.
This president will be a Republican caucus upon adjournment.
Senator Ryder.
A Rules Committee meeting on adjournment.
Further announcements? Mr. Petula.
President, if there's no further action coming before this body, I would ask unanimous consent to adjourn until 10 a.m.
Mr. Petula moves and asks unanimous consent to Senate stand in adjournment until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Without objection, we're adjourned.